today. We're going to go to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 21, this morning. You know that the book of Exodus, of course, is the account of the children of Israel leaving their Egyptian bondage and their escape from bondage, and they're moving out toward the promised land. You go back one chapter to Exodus 20, which is the one of the important events in the wilderness journey of the children of Israel, because God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. In 21, there are more laws that are given. You know, God reveals himself to us. According to Psalm 19, he reveals himself to men in a couple of ways. The first way is Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." It says, "Day unto day uttereth speech," talking about creation, everything that we see. It's always speaking. And then it goes on and says, "There's no speech nor language where this voice is not heard." That means in every nation of the world, they may not have heard the gospel, but they have a God consciousness, because God has revealed himself generally to everybody through creation. So they can go out, to, no matter if they're in Uganda or if they're in China or wherever they are, they can go out and look at creation and look at the heavens and look at the stars at night. And it is a revelation of God to everybody. There's no speech or utterance where it can't be understood. They understand that God, generally, they understand the concept of God, a creator. But then in Psalm 19, when you go down a few more verses, it describes the other way that God reveals himself. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And the remainder of Psalm 19 is how that God more specifically reveals himself to us through the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And that's what Exodus 20 and Exodus 21 is talking about. God revealed himself even through his law. So let's read a few verses here in Exodus chapter 21, beginning with verse number 2. "If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's. He shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. His master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Now, I know that this is a little bit hard for us to comprehend or to understand, because the whole idea of slavery is something that, you know, we all just kind of, it's an awful thing to think of slavery. But these laws were given by God during a time when slavery was very, very common. And usually slaves would come from nations that were conquered. You would conquer a nation, and then those people would become subservient. They would become your slaves. That's just the way that it was in this in this culture. For a Hebrew to become a slave to another Hebrew, that would happen if someone was very poor or very much in debt. Then a Hebrew could purchase another Hebrew and basically was taking on his debt, and that person would become his slave. He would work for him and work off his debt, and the owner would pay his debts off for him as he served him or was literally a slave to him. And so that's the only way that a Hebrew would become a slave to another Hebrew. And they would serve them for 6 years. And then they would be allowed to go free. There would be the opportunity then for them to be free of their debt and free of their responsibility. And they would no longer be a slave to that owner. And really it follows the 6-1 principle that you'll see in a lot of places in the scripture. God worked, the creation work was a 6-day work week, and then one day was a day of freedom. One day was a day of rest. And it was also the way that God designed their crops, that they were to plant their fields for 6 years, but then they were to give it a year rest. And that's how the whole process of crop rotation came in to being, because they would divide their lands into 7 different divisions, and they would give portions of the land a rest. And so the same principle was true when it came to slavery and to ownership of slaves, that after 6 years, then they were allowed to go free. But if that person who was a slave said, "No, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I don't want to go free. I want to become a permanent, lifelong slave or servant to my master." And if that happened, then they would go through the process that we're going to talk about here this morning. First of all, there's some really important spiritual principles for us when it comes to the marks of a bond servant and what it means to be a bond servant. Now, you'll see that term all throughout the scripture. And actually, to be a servant or a slave, it's the same word in the original language. Actually, in the New Testament, 130 times the Greek word is the word doulos. And it's just a word that's translated most of the time servant, but many times slave, basically meaning the same thing, doulos. It just meant that you belonged to someone else. You were a servant or a slave to someone else. But God provided for them free will, the opportunity after 6 years to make a choice, the ability to have free will. You understand that as Christians, we are Christians, and certainly because God first loved us. But as a bondservant, we make a decision by free will. God has given to every man the opportunity to say yes to God or no to God. It's only in a cult-like atmosphere that people are, you know, under the bondage, in some sort of a religious bondage. But we know that every one of us here today, we're here today because we chose to be here. We're serving God because we chose to serve the Lord. We all have free will. According to Genesis chapter 3, all of the wonderful fruit of the wonderful paradise of the Garden of Eden, everything was for Adam and Eve to partake of, except for that one tree that was placed in the middle of the garden. And that tree represents free will, the opportunity for mankind to make a choice. We all have an opportunity to choose if we're going to serve God or not. Amen. And we should recognize the wonderful privilege that we have to turn to the Lord and to call upon the Lord and to choose to serve the Lord. Moses said to the children of Israel, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live forever. Amen. God has given to all of us free will. Every one of us in this service today, the gospel is presented, the opportunity to know the Lord. But you can reject that. You can say no to the Lord, and many people do, and walk away from the great privilege of knowing the Lord and serving the Lord. But I pray that we'd all understand the great blessing of saying yes to the Lord, and the opportunity that we have to choose to serve the Lord. Joshua repeated this same theme about free will in Joshua 24 and 15 to that second generation. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which were your fathers that served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. A bond servant, a bond slave, is a love slave, meaning you've chosen to be a servant of the Lord because you love the Lord, because you want to serve the Lord. And that was the slave then becomes no longer just a slave, but he becomes a bond slave, a bond servant, a doulos. That, as I said, that word is used 130 times in the New Testament. So if you love the Lord and choose to serve the Lord, then you become a bond servant. Praise God. And that's really the principle that's being taught there in the book of Exodus. It's also the same theme you'll find in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, the greatest motivation for serving the Lord is that you love the Lord. You love the Lord. That's the great motivator. It causes us to want to please Him. We want to walk with the Lord. We want to grow closer to the Lord because we love the Lord. It's a sad indictment and upon many who have chosen to love everything else but the Lord, to love the world, to love all the things of this life, to love possessions, to love everything else, to love money, to love, and we have all the warnings in the scripture about having a love and a heart after other things rather than the things of God. Do you understand that you choose who and what you love? You do. I know that it's been pretty much, you know, romanticized. Pretty much people talk about, I fell in love. Almost like falling over a log or something. I fell in love and I can't help myself. You can help yourself. You can help yourself. You make a decision. You make a decision to love, and then you make a decision to keep loving and to continue that love and to grow that love. Amen. That's the choice. The bondservant says, I love my master. Can you imagine the relationship that must have happened? Instead of they understood what a harsh taskmaster was. They had come out of over 400 years of bondage in Egypt, and they understood what it was to be under a hard taskmaster and to suffer under a harsh master. But now Now he's saying, if you love the master, if you love him, that's the key. If you love him, then you're going to want to serve him. You're no longer being compelled to serve him, but you serve him because you love him. That's the way it should be in our relationship with the Lord. You shouldn't have to be pressured to read your Bible or pressured to go to church or pressured to worship the Lord. All of those things should be an overflow of your love for God. You just come to church because you want to get closer to God. You read the Bible and study the Bible because you want to know him in a greater depth and a greater understanding of the things of the Lord. We serve him because we love him. Amen. Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These words which I command thee shall be in your heart. This was a command that was given to the children of Israel. Love the Lord with every part of your being. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything. That God should have your complete and total love and commitment. That's the command of the Lord. Give him your all. Everything belongs to the Lord. Before you were saved, your heart was hard. Your heart was resistant toward good things and certainly toward godly things and toward the things of the Lord. But once you are born again, then you're transformed and you're changed. Ezekiel describes this. He says, I'll give them a heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the stony heart out of your and give them a heart of flesh. And they shall walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. There's no greater motivator for serving the Lord than a changed heart. A heart that develops a love for the things of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing when someone gets born again and you can see a change in them? They love the things of God. They love the Word of God. They love worship. They love the house of God. They love the things that are so important. Love is the great motivator. Amen. And that's what motivated the slave. I love my master. I want to stay with him. I want to serve him all the days of my life. I've used this illustration a few times over the years about the woman that married the man that she didn't love. That's a mistake. The woman that married the man that she didn't love. And the man wrote out for her a list of responsibilities. He was harsh. I want my meals at a certain time. I want the house cleaned in a very particular way. I want my clothes taken care of and gave detailed instructions. So her life was pretty much misery. She lived under the miserable obligation to please this man that she didn't love. But then he died. And later she married a man that she did love. And her life was full of happiness and joy. I mean, she just went around every day with joy in her heart. One day after many years, she's going through some old things from her early life. And she came across the list of the first husband. And she read over the list. Meals at a certain time. House clean in a particular way. All the list of the things that he demanded. And she was so shocked when she realized that she was doing all of those things for the new husband that she loved. Love is the greatest motivator, isn't it? It is the greatest motivator. Amen. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. If you love the Lord, then the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. And the word there just means weighty or burdensome. Amen. I've heard people say, I can't serve the Lord. Too many obligations. Too many rules. Too many things that I have to do if I'm going to serve the Lord. But if you love the Lord, then His commandments are not going to be a burden to you. They're not going to be weighty to you. You're going to have a desire to please the Lord. That's because you have been changed from a slave to a bond servant. Amen. You're a love servant. You've committed yourself to the Lord and you love the Lord. That's the first mark of the bond servant, is that he chooses to love the master. He chooses to love the master. And then the master then would take that slave and take him before the judges, and they would determine that he was going to be marked for the rest of his life to belong to the master. And they would take him to the door post or to the door, and they would use an awl. This sounds really painful. And they would bore a hole in his ear. And that was going to be a mark. He was going to be marked or branded for the rest of his life. And anyone that saw that mark in his ear, they knew that servant belongs to a master. His ear was the indicator of that. The hole was born in his ear. It was a mark of ownership. Now, as a bond slave, he is marked forever as belonging to the master. You'll see a similar thing going on whenever Aaron's sons were anointed to be priests in the family of priests, that they took them, brought them forth in a trespass offering, and the priest would bring them and put a little bit of oil on the tip of their right ear. And that oil was placed upon the priest's ear. It was a reminder that their ear was to be in tune to God. Their ear was to be turned toward the Lord. That was the responsibility of the priest, that he would be listening to the voice of the Lord. And so this bond slave, a mark of this bond servant, what is that he had a mark of ownership on his ear, and that was a reminder that his ear was in tune to the voice of the master. Praise God. Amen. You want to be a bond servant, then choose to love the master, and choose that your ear would be in tune with the voice of the Lord. There's a lot of noises out there. There's a lot of voices out there in our world right now. It's coming at you from every direction. But if you're going to be a bondservant, your ear has to be in tune to the voice of the Lord. If you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, you're going to have some quiet time. You're going to have to get away from all of the noises of this world and pay attention to the voice of the Lord. If you're a bondservant, you're going to be in tune, listening to the voice of your master. Amen. Another mark of the bondservant. An awl used to drive a hole in the ear. I've seen mothers pierce their little baby's ears, and I don't know. I can't hardly deal with it. I've seen videos of little babies, tears just rolling down their faces because their mother's abusing them. It's unbelievable to me, the awfulness of this. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a slave. We're talking about a slave that is becoming a bond slave or a bond servant. And he says, I love my master. I want to serve him forever. And I want to be in tune to the voice of the master for the rest of my life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise God. Amen. A bondservant, a mark of a bondservant is he is listening to the voice of the Lord. He's in tune to the voice of the Lord. He's shutting out all the other voices of the world, and he's paying attention to the voice of the Lord. Notice that he's taken to a door or to a doorpost for that to happen. He brings him to a door, the servant that's going to become a bondservant. His life isn't over. You understand that a lot of people have the idea, especially a lot of younger people, they think, you know, if I dedicate my life to the Lord, then I'm never going to have fun ever again. My life is over. I'm just going to be like a monk, and I'm going to be separate from everything, and I'll never have any joy, I'll never have any fulfillment, or any good thing will ever happen in my life. Oh, how the devil lies to people. He's such a liar. Amen. Amen. When you give yourself to the Lord, when you commit yourself to the Lord, it was at a doorway that this took place. This wasn't the end of this servant's life. This was the beginning of his new life. This was a door that was getting ready to open up for him. He was getting ready to move into a whole new world, a whole new life. And that's what it means whenever you become a bondservant. Another mark of a bondservant is he moves through the portal. He moves through. The door speaks of access and opportunity and a new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And you can't imagine all the amazing things that God can do with your life if you'll just give your life to Jesus. Amen. When you just become a slave and a master to the master, and you commit yourself to the Lord, all the wonderful things that God can do in your life and through your life, if you will just allow him to. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, what a vivid picture it is of the Lord saying, I'm the door. You're going to be able to have access. You're going to go out and everything that you have need of, it's going to be provided for you. Amen. Let me tell you, serving the Lord is the most wonderful adventure that you could ever imagine. Amen. You could have never dreamed, once you commit yourself to the Lord, how that God might direct your steps. Amen. Praise God. God knows the desires of your heart, and he knows how to meet your needs, and he knows exactly what you were called to do and the purpose of your life. And he will use your life if you'll make yourself a bond servant. God will open up doors for you that you cannot imagine. Amen. He can open up a door that no man can shut. Praise God. A lot of opportunities that come because you say yes to the Lord. Too often people think, if I give my life to the Lord, then all these things that I have set my sights on, all my goals, all my desires, I'll never ever see them realized. It's just not true. It's not true. Amen. I remember as a young person thinking, there were certain things that were important to me as a young person. I was very interested in music and being involved in music and groups, singing groups and things of that sort. I remember, though, when I made a dedication to the Lord, it was almost as if I had to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And you've heard me tell the story how that in order to go to Bible school, I had to sell my drums. I had a set of drums that were very precious to me. But I thought, Lord, whatever. I want to do your will. I want to do what you asked me to do. And so I just sell out and I go to Bible school. And after I get there, they come to me and they said, we heard that you play the drums. I said, yeah, I do a little bit. I play the drums a little bit. They said, well, we want you to play for the choir. And And before I knew it, I was in a recording studio in Oklahoma City playing the drums on a record album. Something that in my earlier years I dreamed of maybe being able to do. And here I am doing it. Even after saying yes to the Lord. Amen. Another thing that I always thought, this is what I would love to be able to do. I love to travel around the world. I'd love to go to a lot of places around the world. Never would I ever have dreamed that throughout the years of ministry that I would have opportunities to go to a lot of different countries of the world in missions work. But what an amazing thing it is to see that God, when you say yes to the Lord and you give yourself to the Lord, when you become a bondservant of the Lord, God opens the doors. He gives you opportunities that you could have never have dreamed of whenever you say yes to the Lord. Amen. He can open doors that no man can shut if you will give your life to the Lord. That's one thing, to be born again and to be saved. But there's a whole nother level of dedication when you say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my future. I put it all into your hands. You just do with me whatever you want to do. And you put your life into the hands of the Lord, and you can never imagine the great adventure you might go on. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. To be a bond servant, it doesn't sound very attractive, does it? To be a doulos, to be a slave to the master. But if you love the master, then you want to have, you want to be in tune to the voice of the master, and you want to see all the wonderful things, ways that he can work in your life. And I just want to encourage you today, because some of you may be kind of holding back because you have your own plans for your life. You've got your own ideas about your future. And young people, I just challenge you today, give it all to the Lord. Give it all to Jesus. Become a bondservant while you're young and watch God work in your life in amazing, supernatural ways to open up doors and to provide opportunities for you to work in the kingdom of God in ways that you could have never, ever imagined. These are some of the marks of what it means. And what a great spiritual lesson in Exodus 21 of what it means to follow the Lord as a bondservant. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord, through your word. I just pray for each one in this service today that we would say yes to you, Lord. We'd say yes to your plans, to your will. We would commit our lives, our futures, Lord, into your hands, that we would truly become bond servants, bond slaves to you, Lord, so that our life is not our own, but our life belongs to you, Lord. Do with it as you please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, everybody?